Near London, England, there's a cemetery containing a unique grave, that of a wealthy Lady Anne Grimston, who died in 1713. This picture was taken in 1904. Despite going to church every week, she remained an unbeliever, and she scoffed at a personal relationship with Jesus and denied the afterlife. She was buried in a solid marble tomb. Just before she died, she sarcastically she said to a dear friend, "I shall live again as surely as a tree will grow from my body." However, right, there's always a however, a tree did grow from her grave. A tiny seed took root, and it grew, and it eventually cracked, and it broke through her marble tomb. Not long after the burial, it was noticed that the heavy marble slab marking her final resting place had shifted. Workers set the slab back into position, and they reinforced it, confident that the gravestone was secured. But before long, the heavy marble slab had shifted again. Upon further investigation, it was discovered that there was a small crack in the marble, and much to everyone's surprise, a sapling was poking through the narrow gap. Imagine that. By 1860, the sapling had grown into a slender young tree, which had broken through and shattered the marble slab in two. By this time, the marker was beyond repair, and the workers erected an iron rail fence around the gravesite to protect what was there. By 1870, you could see that it had grown. But this is a current picture, right? Recently. And it attracts people from all over the world to this unbeliever's grave, knowing that the God of the Bible is alive and well. Today, growing right through the middle of what Lady Anne's grave, there's not just one tree, there's four from one same root. The trees grew so quickly that they engulfed parts of the iron railing, which now it's all embedded in the trunk. You could see it here from there's different angles. I've got other pictures too. So these are actually the tallest trees in the area. Can you imagine? There is life and power in natural seed, isn't there? And there's even more supernatural power in the Word of God. When God's word, and that's really his gospel seeds, his truth, when they're planted and they're cultivated in an open, fertile heart, they always produce fruit. We're studying the book of Colossians, which is all about being rooted in Christ. Notice carefully that, like this picture, this is a healthy tree that bears fruit, but it needs to have healthy roots. The root system on most trees are much larger than the trees. Otherwise, there's no stability, and the tree above the ground will eventually fall to the harsh environments. It's the same in our lives when we're rooted and we're grounded in Christ. We will fall if we don't have deep roots because we're living in harsh, unstable, and it's often a rootless environment. So my prayer is that as we study this book, that we'll have our roots deepened in Christ, and we're going to grow healthier. And it's going to show that at Maple Creek that we're grounded. We're grounded in Jesus. So we're going to learn, hopefully, that when there's a deeply rooted, healthy tree, that they're not bothered by the heat or the storms of life, that they're not worried about long periods of drought. And they're also, no matter the circumstances, their leaves remain green and they produce fruit. So this is an overview of what we talked last week on the greeting. And we know Colossa, and Gnall will appreciate, Turkeia in Turkey. And so this book, we talked about the context last week, and this week we're looking at verses 3. To 8, and then moving right through verse 14. And we're going to learn the importance of radical thankfulness. In verse 3, if you open your Bibles, We see that Paul is so thankful that the Colossian church, which he's never met, that they're rooted in Christ. And if you look at this verse, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because. Then you have to go to verses 7 and 8, and you work backwards, because every verse builds on one another. So in verse 7, it says, "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." So here's a key part. Epaphras had heard the gospel in Ephesus. We learned that last week. And he came back to his area and he planted this church. And this church was growing, but now there was false teaching in this young church. It was only less than 5 years old, and yet there was false teachers. So Epaphras went to Paul, and this letter is written because of false teaching. We can notice that Epaphras didn't just lead many to faith. He discipled them. And that's what we learn in God's word. The importance of growing in our faith. The importance of being rooted in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to grow. That's why we have the great commandment. That's God's will. That we love him first. And that allows us to love other people in a healthier way. And then we can love others as ourselves. And then we have the Great Commission that tells us to go out and make disciples. And that's why it's really important that we're teaching, that we're growing, and that we're baptizing people as believers. It's so important to grow and to be rooted in Christ. These new believers were in danger from turning from the truth and following these false teachings, which would have made them very unhealthy. And the same danger is today. So as far as when we're looking at this, when you look at verse 6, we talked about understanding God's grace. And you either get it or you don't get it. But I really want to make sure that, like, as we prayed this morning, that none of us are worthy. Jesus did it. So anything that this passage talks about, it's making clear that these Colossian believers, they got it. They understood that it wasn't by works. You don't earn salvation. It's a gift. And then you grow. And so if you look at it, you need to understand that they got that message of grace. So the message of grace, it says in verse 6, says, "Come to you in the same way. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." Then in verse 5, it says about the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard the true message of the gospel. Remember, this was true. This wasn't false, so this could be tested. And the same as our Christian faith today, we can test it and be confident in God's truth. It's historical. And it can be tested. And there's so much false teaching today and easy believism, like whatever you call it, that promotes a faith that has little to do with truth. It's got to be grounded in truth. It's got to be grounded in Jesus. And when we say faith, it really means that you're willing to put your full weight, that you truly do believe, and you grow and you're confident. So saving faith is personal, and it involves the mind, the emotions, and the will. With the mind, we understand the truth of the gospel. And with the emotions, we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we need to be saved. But it's only when we exercise the will and commit ourselves to Christ that the process actually begins, and then we go in the process of discipleship. It's the will. Everyone's got to choose. True faith is a commitment to Jesus Christ. That's why there's a cost to following him. The Bible tells us that many turned away when they heard the cost. And it's the same today. It says in verse 5 that we need to be rooted and grounded in hope. And when you look here, they learned the gospel, they truly understood God's grace, they heard the true message, and they were grounded in hope. And when you look at that, that's really powerful. Look at this verse. The faith and love that springs from the hope. So it's from the hope that as far as the love springs and the faith. Remember that growing faith. And because there's true hope. And that hope is in heaven. Right? We're not home here. And we need to have an eternal perspective. And that's tough for us today, right? Because we do make it too much about ourselves. But that gives instability. Because we need to pursue Jesus. And we need to grow together in our faith. And when we say, when it says hope, like today, it means like, I hope so. But I really doubt it, right? This hope is moving towards certainty. It's a confidence. And it's something that really springs into our love, right? Because we have hope. The world needs hope today. Your neighbors need to hear the hope of the gospel. A Christian needs to be known for their love, right? So that hope should drive us that we love others. Paul had heard how the Christians had lived out their life, loving and trusting in Jesus, in everything. And it's the same for us. He had heard. There's credibility, there's reputation. People hear about us. And that really makes the difference on if they're going to hear your message, right? So we need to live out our faith in everything, at school, at work, at home, here at church, in our marriages, in our families. It covers every aspect of our lives. Faith begins with conversion, being born again, but it doesn't end there. It needs to produce a life change, right? We need to grow. And that's why it's so important to be rooted in Christ. Do you see the difference between faith and gratitude? We're talking about thanksgiving here. Faith is thanking God in advance. So you believe, you pray, we're seeking His will, and then you're believing that He's going to do great and good things in your life. And then you thank Him. Just like I'm thanking Him. I know my sins have been all forgiven. And then when gratitude, though, it's all after the fact. And that's really important too, right? That you're thanking Him, that you're remembering that. And remember that statement, that an attitude of gratitude sets the altitude for living. It's very important to have that thankful attitude. Paul heard that the Colossians truly believed in Jesus and they were living out their faith. And there's been so many, what I've heard in the past, Maple Creek living out their faith. It's really important. And that the gospel bears fruit and that we learn about grace. We never truly understand it. And if you really think of it, if you'd given a gift to the whole world, the Creator, and if you think about it, what gift would be suitable? And I think it's so appropriate that our greatest need is forgiveness. And that's what Jesus did. And when you look at this great gift, the greatest promise from John 3:16, I just think this is amazing. That when you look at that passage, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And you notice the gospel is right in there with red. And there's 12 words before the Son, before Jesus. And there's 12 words after. And the first 12 words are all about God. And then the last 12 words, it's all about us. And it's relationship with Him. It's so important that we recognize God's love through Jesus. And that we receive it. It's a free gift. And that we respond to His offer. Next, Paul, he focuses on prayer. And this is a house of prayer, isn't it? And that we come here And we do see the connection between really being thankful and praying. And Paul says in verse 9, if you look at verse 9, he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you," remember that "heard," look how many times he says that on this passage, "that we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of the will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Paul was praying that they would know the will of God. It's really important. He wanted them to keep growing. He had heard that they're doing well. There was false teachers, but he focused on the truth first. And as far as him continually praying for them, and that's what our lives need to be, that we're thankful, that we're praying, that we're seeking God's will. And it says very clearly here that we're seeking God's will, and that's what the request is. And the means is he gives us wisdom and understanding, and he allows us, if we ask him, and the whole thing is it's through spending time in his word and asking him, "What do you want me to do?" Michael and Jade are looking to sell their house. It's first about spending that time and understanding, what does God want? Right? That's what we need to do in our lives, and it's so important. Paul was called as an apostle. Remember, it says right at the beginning of the passage, by the will of God. It says that God's true family, Jesus said it, it's those that do the will of God. That's what the Bible says over and over again. So Paul is praying, first of all, that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We don't want to be like a college, a first-year student, who handed in a 10-page report titled, "The History of the Universe." Right? We need to understand that we don't understand everything. And God's ways are often not our ways. We need to continue to grow and to be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we can practically live out his will in our lives. And that means we need to ask him. You need to get very personal. And that's why it's a personal relationship. And God will show you and he'll confirm in your life what his will for you right now is. Paul also prayed for practical obedience, to live a life worthy of his calling. He uses two words, and we have to focus on our walk, our relationship with Jesus, and then as far as working that out. And when you look at this, look at verse 10. "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." So we know God's will by being in his word and asking him, spending time with believers, spending time in the community. And God works through many different people. And we're just listening to the Holy Spirit as he leads us. Paul gives us a powerful example of what it means to follow the will of God. He says, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." He shows how Jesus, he had an encounter with him. And then he shares his testimony a number of times. And I'd really like to see at Maple Creek that we're really sharing more what Jesus is doing in our lives. We need to encourage one another. And Paul had an eternal perspective. He wasn't afraid to die. And like Jesus, he was on mission. He was following the Holy Spirit. And he was living a joyful life. And remember, he's writing this letter while he's in prison. So many of us, some of us have had personality tests where we understand that we're thinkers, feelers, and choosers. And we have to understand thinkers and feelers that we often get sidetracked and we need to allow choice. As far as choosing, it's about following the Lord's will by choosing. And then our emotions. And right in our mind. It's so important that we know what God's will is and that we learn to do it in our lives. There's ways that I've learned, how do I make choices? So practically, how do you do it without too much stress? And I've learned that we need to trust that God will let us do it in His time, in His ways. And I often miss the point. And so I'm learning just to focus on my relationship with Him, being deeply rooted. And we need to remember God's faithfulness. And that's why we just encourage one another. And when there's a big decision in our lives, that we know that as humans, we have the tendency to either flee, freeze, or sometimes fight, right? And to break this cycle, we need to trust in God's faithfulness in our lives. Proverbs tells us, the Lord guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to Him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. And number three, we need to give all our burdens to Jesus and believe that He'll give us what we really need, and that the Bible is our source of hope. Often, I just keep rereading the promises from His Word, and one of them, our wedding verse. It's my life verse. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and you guys probably all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Then when you're looking at verses 11 and 12, Paul prays. He prays here for moral excellence in four ways: patience, long-suffering, great endurance, joyfulness, and thanksgiving. Patience has to do primarily with circumstances, while great endurance or long suffering has to do with mainly with people, right? So that's why long suffering, that's a gift of the Spirit. We need that when we're around one another or if we're in the world. So we often think of God's glorious power being revealed in outward physical acts, like David killing Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den. But God first developed character in them. So David, he wasn't focused on Goliath, but he was focused on his bigger God. Daniel, he wasn't focused on the lions. He was focused on Jesus there right with them. And that's an inspiration for all of us at Maple Creek, that we need to keep focus on being rooted in Jesus. In verses 13 and 14, it shows us that Jesus has rescued us. For He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we need to be deeply rooted in Christ. And we can understand that it's about knowing and doing God's will. And the Apostle Paul, he encourages us to rejoice always, to pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants us to bloom where we're planted, wherever you're planted, that you just shine brightly. Lady Ann Grimston and Gary Hart, their greatest need, like the Apostle Paul and each of us, was to have a personal relationship with Jesus and accept Him as His Lord and Savior. That's what they needed, their greatest need. Gary's still living, and you have to, last week's message, I talked about him, and I'm not sure if he's repented and accepted Jesus. But what I have to ask is, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If not, you can respond right now in faith by responding to His love and grace and open your heart and receive this life-changing relationship. And then we get to grow together and build deep roots in Jesus. For those of you that have a personal relationship with Jesus, are you committed to grow deep in Him? I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask if anyone here, if you want to actually commit to build deep roots, that you would stand with me together and make that commitment. So let's pray together. And if you're willing, if you want to stand, if you want, and that's the thing, Do you want to build deeper roots in Jesus? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our good shepherd, and you gave your life for each of us. Thank you for showing your love in so many ways. I pray especially for anyone here that does not know you, or someone that's listening, that they would open their heart and respond to your grace and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Help us all just to open our hearts and respond by choosing to follow you on your terms. We ask for your Spirit, your wisdom and understanding, so that we will live a life that's pleasing to you, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be obedient in our walk, and that you'll give us that spiritual power in our inner being so that we can follow you in patience and great endurance with joy and thankfulness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd, for leading your church, and help us to glorify your great name and enjoy serving you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.